It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I would love to be able to take full credit for the message this morning, but there was a man of God spoke a word into my life yesterday at around 7, maybe a quarter after. And as soon as he did, things just started popping in my mind left and right. And example after example after example. And I thought, wow, what a good message. But I'm not down to preach. Rob is. I went in the house, and not shortly thereafter, Rob called and said they're pushing the surgery back and stuff, be ready in the morning. And I thought, Lord, you're amazing. The thought that the Lord laid upon my heart for this morning is don't let discouragement steal your life. Because it'll do it. And as much as it's hard to say, the thing that Satan works with the most is those around you. The deeper the love, the deeper the hurt. So if you'll turn with me to Isaiah, chapter number 40, we'll take a reading there. I don't know what the Lord has totally in. I have a lot of real nice notes, but I figured it's best just leave them alone, and I just want to follow the Lord the best I can. Debbie told me one time, and I don't know if she remembers it, but she said, when you say, I don't know, I just read the scripture and might just sit down and that be it, there's always a whole bunch comes after it. And I guess, yeah, it does. So when you get to Isaiah chapter 40, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll pick up at verse number 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who can we measure? How can we measure God? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number, and he calleth them by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one that faileth. Who else can name all the stars and the galaxies and hold them up? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from thy God? That's a scary statement to make when you think everything I've done is past and I don't have to sweat it because no judgment comes, so it must be hid from God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. I want you to remember that. As weary as you may get, he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. When you think you're going to fall over, he'll increase you. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You may be seated. I've heard that verse all my life in church, and I never have been able to or been allowed to, or the Lord directed me to minister from that point. But to wait simply means to be bound to, as one would twist something. To be bound to God. To be twisted with Him. Your strength will be renewed. It's when you're apart from God that it will not. And this morning, I don't want anyone to let discouragement eat your life away from you. Yes, I know in some of our lives it seems like it's just one thing after another. And I'm going to tell you, it is. I think the popular word today is drama. There's always drama going on, one thing after another. And I want to give you a few examples this morning that popped in my mind. I don't know, when we're around the house and I'm having some times going through some struggles and praying and trying to seek God, and when I get it, why, I always run to Cheryl and we do the nux, we got it. And the first thing that popped in my mind when I read this is that discouragement comes to God's people. It happens. And as I begin to go through in my mind all of the people in the Bible, it's hard to even narrow it down to just three. But with the Lord's help, I mean, maybe we can go over these three. And my prayer this morning is that your heart would be open to what the Lord says. Robbie made a statement a couple weeks ago, and he said, he asked the question, how many of us believe that we're in the end times and the judgment's coming? And he followed us with this. That means amen, if I can step in your shoes for a while. And he said, but judgment first must begin at the house of God. We today do not fear God. His mercy and grace has been given to us so much that we know it's there and we do not fear Him. And we're living within ourselves. And I'm telling you, I can hear the pounding hoofbeats of judgment coming our way. This is a wake-up call to some. And to others, it's shut down already. And I can only say, Lord, have mercy on your souls. Don't make God use His hand of destruction to get your attention. Don't make Him say, now, God, bring it back now. I'm ready to listen. We have not known the true judgment of God on us. And if we're not careful, we'll bring discouragement to those that are around us. Joshua, being the first example that popped in my mind. Can you imagine what he felt like when he sent out to search the land? But I want to go, let's label it something a little different than search the land. Let's label it as to exactly what God said it was. Joshua was sent out to search the promise of God. Him and 11 of his buddies. Joshua and Caleb come back and say, it's everything God said it could be. And there was others who said, it's too much. It's too much. And Joshua, being a lieutenant, I guess you could say, so to give him a title, right underneath Moses, and he's given the mantle of Moses shortly thereafter, and wondered, how can we possibly lead this people? How can that possibly be done? And God takes him into the first battle. And it's just miraculous. There's no way that they could win. I mean, the walls of Jericho were huge. It was a defense city. Nothing, nobody could break through it. But Joshua made a statement back on the other side of Jordan. He said, as for me and my house. See, it first must start at your house. And not 163 Overlook, my block building that I have over there, but this house. I must first say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know how I'm going to get around that wall. I don't have nothing to break it down. But thank God I serve a God who does. And they marched around it. Silent. Silently is trusting the Lord. I don't know how. This makes no sense. And if it happened in a lot of churches today, because it don't make sense, therefore we're not going to do it. If we can't figure it out, why should there be any iron in it? Why should we give ourselves to something we can't figure out? Why should God give Himself to something that He can't figure out? Oh, well, God can figure everything out, so it must be us that are messed up. Well, nobody's ever heard of a virgin giving birth, so it can't be. Explain to me biologically how that can be. And would we not? I mean, we sat on the tail end of this thing, and we believe because we sat on the tail end. But how many of you sitting there within that place, and Mary says, I'm going to give birth, and I know no man would say, yeah, okay, right. Or are we so righteous that we know for certain, I wouldn't believe anything she said. You won't believe what people tell you today. They win the battle. The next battle is supposed to be just a cakewalk. We'll send some folks in. It's a small thing. We'll handle it. And the folks go in. And they get killed. And Joshua, I believe it's chapter 7. He falls down on his face before God. He says, God, come on. Why would you lead us here if you're just going to kill us? If we're just going to wipe out and be nothing. We find Moses saying the same thing over the children of Israel. Why would you bring me here if this is going to be it? Do you not think that would be discouraging? Here the people are looking to you, and most of them didn't want you to lead them anyway. Amen. I'm going to do yours, brother. We got the book. And the thing about it is we're so smart today that we go beyond that statement and say, nope, it wasn't me. If I was there, I'd have said, hey, Joshua, you're my man. Give him knucks, elbows, and everything else that they do. Two guys at work, I seen them, and they seen each other, and they looked like they was in a fist fight between the knucking and the shaking and the elbows and the chesting. And I said, y'all going to hurt one another. As a mother, I said, quit that. And here's Joshua supposed to be this. Can you imagine the talking amongst the camp? If he's supposed to be such a good general, then why did we lose this battle? Let me tell you what I'd have done if I was in charge. I'd have sent the whole army down there. I just wouldn't have sent a few. Can we picture that going on today? No. They say, Joshua made a good decision. I just don't know what happened. That's the way it would really be handled. Joshua falls down and he's seeking God. He says, why? Why would you do this? I'm sure he was discouraged. I don't know about, I would have been discouraged. Here a bunch of women and children are without fathers now over my judgment. We could preach that one all by itself, but we'll leave that alone for another day. While he's down there and he's ripping his clothes and he's putting dust on his head, what's God tells him? What's his instruction? Get up. It's not you. Someone has taken the accursed thing and hid it in their tent. What do you mean, God? Someone has taken what belongs to you and it's become their possession? Help me out. We can bring discouragement and death to many when we take the possessions of God for our own possession. Did you ever get an answer to your question Wednesday night? Why Jesus was outside? May I answer that? Because they put him there and didn't want to let him in, with the knob being on the other side of the door. See, they didn't, when he was alive, want him in because his way was not their way. And that's why he said, "Why are you so slow to believe?" He said at one place, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He didn't say "and hypocrites." He said, "You guys, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. You will not go in to the blessings of God, and you will not let those who want to go in, go in." We need, as the church, to realize we have been given a great gift, the gift of salvation. He led captivity captive. That's the ones that would want to bind you up. He led them captive. And he gave gifts unto men. Don't bury your gift in the midst of your tabernacle. Don't take the gift of God and set on it. Come on, let's this morning be real. When was the last time you really got desire to go after somebody for God? Not for church. I surprise folks sometimes at work because I tell them, "I don't care where you go. I just want to see you get saved. I don't care. As long as they believe the Word of God, take a Bible, check them out. If they believe it, serve God there. It doesn't matter." I would be foolish to think that this is the only flavor ice cream in the world. I would be foolish to think my trophy is the only one that's out there. Within walking distance, we can walk to 5 or 6, easy. We got more churches now than we do convenience. I never thought that would happen. There's nothing special about this, but there's something special about the one that is in you. Share him. He told him in another place, he said, you're really good. You pay tithe of anise, mint, cumin, all of those. What he's telling him is, you walk out to your herb garden. This is what they did. You take a measure. You measure how tall your herb is. And you make sure you break off exactly a tenth. So you follow it to the T. But you've left the weightier matters. You've left off the things. Let's pull the thing that we have of God's that's our own, and let's deliver it out to the masses. Because when we do that, there becomes casualties of good, innocent people fighting for the right. They're fighting for the right cause. They're fighting for what they believe in. But they end up dead because of what someone else does. It won't necessarily happen in the physical here, but spiritually. How many of you don't have to go too far in your mind to know someone who has been hurt by a house of love? But it's the personalities and the attitude in the house of love that drive those who... Those who need love and protection and have come here to seek such are driven out. Don't let what others do discourage you. People are not going to act right. There's people who are going to profess a good godliness, but they're going to live in their flesh. Their carnal mind cannot be subject to the things of God until they will fall down on their knees and say, Lord, I will just give myself to you. I give my will to you. But there's some of us that will not do that, because to do that, then I am out of control, and God knows I've got to be in control. We'll talk about how humble we are at church when we're given prayer requests. We'll talk about how graceful and how merciful God is. But the minute someone else mentions it, we bow our back. You're not humble. Jesus talked about people that do that. When secretly in prayer you say, oh God, I need you so much. I'm so thankful that I have salvation and I have Jesus. Thankful I'm not like Rick Hall. We sin when we do that. Jesus, as a matter of fact, said, who do you think was more justified? Caleb. Not you, brother. Caleb was another one. Can you imagine the discouragement he must have felt? I mean, he comes back and says, we can take it. We can do this. Man, those people are bread to us. We can wipe it out. And the other said, oh, no, 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 no. You don't understand. We are little bitty people compared to these guys. We can't take this. And can you imagine Caleb saying, wait a minute, you were with me. Didn't you see what I seen? Answer is no. Folks, we can inherit the promises of God.
Don't listen to them. They won't get us in trouble.
So much so that the other 10 stole the faith of the others. And instilling their faith, so much so that they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for speaking such stuff. Those two are crazy. He thinks we can just have the promises of God. How stupid's that? He's going to save us one day. By and by, we're going to go to our little cabin up in the sky, and that's all we need. Who needs a land? Who needs to help other people? Who needs to see folks get saved? That's a question to all of us. Who has that need in them? Because until it's a need in you, you'll not be concerned with it. You'll be more concerned with all of our stuff, our trinkets, our whatever you want to call it, our possessions, everything that's around us. And to directly people who are in our direct control, because when they get out of our control, we don't like that either. When are we going to get a genuine need to see folks saved before the judgment? If you truly believe in hell, you truly believe in heaven, isn't it worth making a stand to do all we can to see people get saved?
Amen.
If you really believe that, isn't it worth it? Regardless of who that person is, it does not matter what they've said to you. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. It doesn't matter how they act. It doesn't matter where they go. What matters is judgment is coming. And can I just sit back, unconcerned, with me in mind, and that's it? I was walking through work the other day, and a statement was in my ear.
It's going to be two surprised people in the judgment. You know who they're going to be, brother? Those who made it and those who thought they were. Oh, you got your nerve. Well, wait a minute. Now, didn't Jesus deal with this? Didn't he say that they're going to say to me, Lord, Lord? Now, wait a minute. I've cast out demons in your name. I've did this in your name. I've did that in your name. I did all of this in your name. And what did Jesus reply to them? Depart from me. I never knew you. Yes, you did all of this in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus will make demons flee. But where is our hearts? Where is our hearts? And then he ended it with sad words. He said, I say unto you, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. My works ain't going to get me there. The work was done to get me there. I've got to accept it. I've got to allow God to change me. You don't hear me talk much about my former sin life. I don't know. It just cleaves to my mouth. The only thing I can say is that if you all, as long as I've known you all, if you would have met me lost, you wouldn't like me. Me and you'd be what they call throw down. I've got a couple witnesses here that knew me when I was lost. Thank God for His grace and mercy. So now Caleb, not you, brother, he's got to do something. Now he's got to walk through the desert with unbelief till the unbelief comes out. Would that not be discouraging? Think about it. What if God gave you a promise and he said, Brian, this is your promise. Only I can't give it to you because of her. And him. And him. And her. And her. And him. Just keep hanging out and it'll come one day. You'd be like, the minute you go, yeah, huh? The actions of others will bring disappointment, discouragement in your life. And if you want, you can continue to go on those. You can continue to let those things bring you down. But every time that we have discouraging moments, can I tell you that the discouraging moments end when we say, that's it. I ain't listening to this no more. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm changing my direction. I was sharing with him in Sunday school, a friend of mine, he's got a truck, it's got all this computer, and he's got that little thing on the dashboard that tells you where to go and everything. But you know, it says time and time again, reconfiguring directions. And sometimes, just for meanness, he turns the opposite of what it tells him to. We're advanced enough, we already know where I'm going with that. Sometimes we know what the TomTom and the GPS and all the other names for them is. We know what they say to do, but just for meanness, just to see what happens. I'll go this way. Paul, the Apostle Paul, do you think that he got discouraged when he's standing in that ship and they're getting ready to sail and he says, sir, I perceive this voyage is going to cost. But they not willing to listen. Let's go with the ship's owner. He knows what he's talking about. Paul didn't say, that's it. I'm out of the ship. You can sail on. Y'all gonna just blow all apart as soon as your Rockladon comes. That's the name of the storm that hit them. As soon as it comes, it's over with. Y'all wiped out. Even though Paul was governed, bossed, mastered, led, whatever you want to do, by men that would not listen to him, would not listen to direction. How many of you try to genuinely help the things at your workplace? I hope somebody does. But sometimes they just don't listen. And it starts to fall apart. I'll come over and preach to you then. Can we have a private? Well, this is what Paul done. In the middle of the battle, it's a word for you. In the middle of that battle, he stood up and said, "Sir, I know this storm looks bad, but I've been with the Lord. And he's told me this day, we're all going to make it. The ship's going to suffer complete and total loss. Because after all, even though we possess it, we don't possess it. It's still in the hand of God." Paul said when he was writing to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, he said, we were so pressed down, so beat down, we had gone so low that we even was just destitute of life itself. That's Paul's way of saying, you know, it was so bad, I didn't even want to get out of bed. I just went through the motions because I knew I had to be there. Have you ever been there? I have. I tell you, there's been times when I've sat on the side of the bed and I've said, Lord, I thank you for this day. But why does it got to be so habitual? And you know, Russ, after about 2 or 3 days of that, you know what he told me? It don't. You make it that way. But I go to the same old place. Yeah, but it's a new day. But I do the same old thing. Yeah, but it's a new day. You know, everything that I threw out, he said, but it's a new day. And then I realized he's like got a little hammer trying to crack his nut to get something down in there. I can be discouraged, or I can be like Paul, and I can stand on the bow of the ship. And what did the Lord tell him? Be encouraged. The Lord has said, Paul, I'm not only going to take you to Rome because that's where I want you to go, but the lives of everyone that is in the ship, even those that will not listen, I give in your hand. Paul said, we're going to make it. And the guy said, not all of them, because some of them trying to jump ship, we're going to put the sword to them. We're going to kill them. He said, don't. They ain't going nowhere. But our orders and what we do when they leave, they die. Sometimes following orders get to be stupid. You know, like the old military thing that we tell all the time? Dig the hole, now fill up the hole. Now dig me another hole and fill it up. And dig that hole and keep doing that. Sometimes when things don't make sense, we need to listen to God and not to self. Amen? I was talking to a brother, and we've talked several times about this, and I checked with him this morning to make sure it was good to share this, and he said, Bob, yeah, by all means. And we were talking about different things, and he said, well, the church, this church, was birthed out of not wanting to be underneath a dictatorship. And that's good. Everybody wants to be free, don't you? The one thing we need to be careful of, that it was the dictatorship and not who was in charge. Need to make sure that we don't become the thing that we hate. God is a dictator. He does bark orders at us. And let's don't get so headstrong, so head-driven, that we forget. The thing that I run away from, I become. There's been times and temptations in my life that brother, that come close to me. Thank God for His mercy that He stopped me in enough time to say, look at what you're doing. And at that point, I had a decision I could make. I could either allow the Lord to change me, or I could say, nope, this is my trail, I'm walking it, you bless it. Because sometimes, folks, let's put it the way it is. Sometimes we don't pray about nothing. We tell God what we're going to do and how He's going to bless it. And in answer to your question, there's more to getting ready for church than putting on a suit and tie. We need to be praying God's will when we come in, not praying, okay, of what's Robbie going to bring today, and I'm watching you, brother. I got my eye on you. And I ain't as concerned about what you read out of here. I'm concerned about what comes out of there. Because that's what I'm going to dice and slice and chop and scrape some of it off in the garbage and not use it. That's a dangerous place to be in, folks. That's what brings discouragement. Sin will bring discouragement. And look, you can commit a sin and get forgiveness. But can I tell you, the ramifications of your sin can go on for a long time. Jim, I love you, brother.
I love you.
Bless your heart, brother.
Yeah. Holy Spirit, bring me your heart.
I can go out and I can take the life of a person. And I can say, God, what did I do? I am so sorry. And that quick, God will say, you're forgiven. But the penalty for what I did, I still have to pay. I want to tell you this morning, regardless of how discouraged you get in every situation that you are in, regardless of how it comes down and how frustrating you get, if you will keep your heart after God, if you will keep your heart after God, if you will keep your heart fixed on God, your time is coming. You may have to walk through the wilderness for 40 years till all of the disbelief is out, but your time is coming. God does not promise you something only to take it away and to dangle it in front of you. What He said, He will do. All you have to do is be willing. Do you think discouragement didn't come in Joshua and Caleb when they're constantly walking around in the heat of the desert? God, how much longer do I have to continue to go through this? God, I didn't even do anything. I was trying to do Your will. I was listening to You. God, I seen everything. I believed Your promises. I know You're capable. I know You're able. I know You can do it all. I've seen You do it all. I believe in You with all of my heart. Why is it that I must continually walk around this wilderness for 40 years? It is not fair. Have you ever thought about that? Why did they have to endure that? Men of such faith in God, men of such love of God. Because without Joshua and Caleb, the next generation would be faithless, because all they would hear was how they were, Joshua and Caleb was going to do this, but I tell you what, we put an end to that. If God was going to move in our behalf, let me tell you what He would have done. He would have just killed everybody and we'd walk in. Sometimes you got to fight for what you believe. And in fighting for what you believe, you will save generation after generation after generation. Look, I'm not going to give you the misconception. You come to Jesus and your life is a cakewalk. I was I was discouraged. And it may not be just some of the things that some might be going through your mind. There was other things that I shared with my wife and the Lord and able to. I was discouraged. I wish that one problem was all the problems that I had. Don't you, brother? Don't you, sis? Don't everybody here wish if I just had one problem, I'd be just tickled pink with that thing. Come bright fluorescent pink, brother. I want to share with you the word that man spoke into my life, which while I was mowing grass in the spirit realm, I just heard chains break, ching, 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 and fall off. And I'm mowing my grass, and I'm like, yeah! And I thought, Lord, everybody's looking. Don't make me fall down and pray in his front yard again. It's been years since you've done that. He said, would you? I said, you better bet. For the freedom I feel right now, I'd shut that lawnmower off, fall prostrate out in the yard if I need to. You tell me. He said, you don't have to. This is the word that he spoke. And it finally sunk in, cracked the nut and got it in there. He said, weapons of war are not forged and poured into a hammock. They're not found in laziness. If you want to be formidable in the kingdom of God, if you want to be a weapon against the evilness, if you want to be a weapon against the devil's kingdom and see people get saved, you're not going to do it through laziness. You're not going to do it through just laying back and controlling everything around you. That hunk of metal has to be poured out into a form. And then it's no good. He said, for you to be a formidable weapon, you've got to be heated in the fire to the point that you're red hot. And only to be jerked out of the fire, not dipped in the water, but thrown on an anvil and beat into shape. And the more you're heated and the more you get beat, the sharper and better you are. And you will never be put into the hand of God to be used until you're exactly what He needs you to be. And you can deliver the sword, folks. But you better do it with the velvet glove. And as a matter of fact, when I got the sword, and you go in with your velvet glove, have a band-aid in this hand so when it comes out, they'll know the love of God that heals. We,